Good afternoon. So in this chapter, in this, really this whole Upper Room discourse, his kind of last Bible study or time alone with them before the crucifixion. Now he's going to come again afterwards, of course, but this is all leading up to the crucifixion. And throughout this time with them in the Upper Room, he's re-comforting them, because he's told them he's going away, and it's troubled them. It's caused sorrow to fill their heart. And as he moves through this conversation with them, he's letting them know that it's important that he goes away, because if he doesn't go away, then he can't send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come live in them, because the Holy Spirit will guide them into all things Jesus, how to navigate the life of Christ within them. But they're kind of getting it in glimpses, because they really don't understand the cross, don't really understand him leaving and then coming back in the person of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, there's just interjected throughout this whole story, you can find him like ministering to them, all that's coming, that he's this amazing panoramic thing that's happening for the redemption of the world. And yet there's this love for him and the Father has for him, that's just coming forth in a profound way. Just keeps jumping out. I'll give you a couple examples. He says in verse 28 of chapter 14, "You heard that I said that I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." What's fun is to read commentators about this scripture, because they discuss this sort of ancient argument that people who didn't believe in the deity of Christ or the Trinity would use this verse to try to say, well, see, if Jesus said the Father is greater than him, then they can't be equal. And so there's all these arguments, and most of the argument for the Trinity is that, now Jesus is saying, because there is this hierarchy, even though they're one, they're equal, there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Spirit. But I don't think that's what's happening here at all. I think that when you love someone, you really love someone. Paul said in Philippians 2 that we deal with others, we view them as more important than ourselves. Because love calls for sacrifice, and for sacrifice, to lay your life down for another, there's just this thing in you there that's treating them as if they're more important. What they want right now is more important than what you'd like to have in this moment. Or, do you understand what I'm saying? And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. I believe the Trinity felt that way about each other, feels that way about each other. I think the Father, when his love for Jesus, it makes him, well, you're greater than me. And Jesus says, no, you're greater than I am. And Holy Spirit, because of their affection for each other. And then he says in that same chapter in verse 30, "I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." And so we know that Jesus died on the cross because God's great love for us and rescue, that he wouldn't leave us in our fallen condition, that we would be who he created us to be, a people in union with him, sharing all that he is and all that he has. But Jesus says here that also for him, that he's going to go to the cross because he wants the whole world to know how much he loves the Father. And was it Jesus' heart to go to the cross? Yes. Was this the Father's heart? Yes. He wanted the whole world to know that this is what he would do out of his love for the Father. And so again and again, he'll make statements in these chapters about going to be with the Father. And when you get to chapter 16, Jesus says, in a little while, you'll not behold me, but then in a little while, you will see me. And this is a verse we've talked about some lately that's just really neat. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament in the crucifixion. Though the world will rejoice, yet you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned to joy when I come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you too now have sorrow. But I will see you again, not like one day down the road, way far in heaven, but I'll see you again at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. I'm coming to live in you. I won't leave you as orphans. And your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. And so we talked about the fact that Jesus is saying that I'll be your joy, and no one can take that joy away from you. That can touch all kinds of things in your life. They can even take your life, but they can't take me being your joy away from you. But they're still not really figuring it out. So Jesus says it several different ways, and finally they go, in verse 29 of chapter 16, his disciples said, "Lo, now you speak plainly, and you're not speaking in figurative language. Now we know that you know all things, and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." And Jesus said to them, "Do you now believe?" Like he's kind of challenging them. So you got it now. So now you're going to believe. You believe in me. "Behold, an hour is coming, and already has come, for you to be scattered." In other words, Jesus is saying, I know that you think you've got this thing down about believing, but there's some things going down. It's about to manifest, and you're going to be scattered, and you're going to be shaken. And he says, "You'll be scattered, each one to his own home, to leave me alone." Listen to what he says. This is the part that really ministered to me this morning. "Yet I am not alone, because the Father's with me." If you remember in chapter 14, twice he said, "I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me." There's this union. And he repeats it again, chapter 17, towards the end of this little time together, several times. And that, "The Father, you loved me since before the world began." And just this whole relationship between Jesus and the Father. Now, I understand that Jesus is saying these things in his incarnational state. He is God, but he's also 100% man. And he laid his right down to live as God on the earth, and he lived as a spirit-filled man. He was revealing to us in the life that he lived the relationship mankind was meant to have with God. And Jesus is saying, "The Father's in me and I'm in you, I'm in him." And he says, "Here's the thing. I know that you believe because you're beginning to understand some things, but there's some stuff happening. And you're going to be scattered. And you're going to leave me alone." But he said, "I'm never alone. Because I'm going to be leaving you alone. You're going to be scattered because I'm going to die. I'm going to go away." He says, "But I'm not going to be left alone when you scatter because the Father's with me." Now, Jesus said that in his humanity. He said his relationship with God was enough. It was enough. Now, there'll come a time when Jesus' relationship with them will be enough. But I love the fact that Jesus said, basically, no matter what's going on around you, no matter how much people abandon me, no matter how even the closest ones around me leave me, I'm not alone. The Father's with me. You see, this is he's modeling to us. No matter what happens, no matter who's in my life or not in my life, who would betray me or not betray me, whether I'm with a group of people or I'm at home alone, I'm never alone. Because Jesus is with me. And Jesus is enough. When you come to a place in your life where Jesus is enough, doesn't mean he doesn't add things, but they're not essential. When Jesus is enough, then the enemy has no place in you. Then you believe, because you don't have to have support to believe. You don't have to have anybody tell you that you're doing it right or how wonderful you are, because you have him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 14, if anyone loves me, they'll keep my word. My Father will pour out his love on them. And we, me and the Father, will come to him and make our abode with him. Wow. God is teaching us about seeing the kingdom of heaven within us. So within, not only do I know the presence of Jesus, and I'm never left alone. I'm never left alone facing anything. Because Jesus is in me, with me. I'm never dealing with any issue alone because Jesus is in me, with me. That's so amazing. And his presence and his companionship is the most real thing in my life. That's what Jesus is saying about the Father. But I also get to participate in, he said he and the Father would make their abode in me. I get to participate in my inner man in this love relationship Jesus has with the Father. I have this relationship with Jesus, and I also have Jesus' relationship with the Father. Wow. That's an amazing thing. Sometimes things happen in life and we get scattered, don't we? It may not be that you get everybody goes away, but everything in you just feels scattered. What's the one thing that matters is that you're not alone. If you're a Christian, you were created for him. And if you're in Christ, Christ is in you, and his relationship with the Father is in you. And I used to say this years ago, I haven't said it in a long, long time. Sometimes you'll discover when he's all you've got is that he was really all you ever needed. More than enough. It's amazing. I don't fear getting older and being alone. I'm not alone. It's crowded in here. And it's amazing. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you.